Okay, today's message is centered around one very small word. Would you say it out loud?
Yes.
Louder?
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and go, if. All right. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon before, have I, honey? Okay, you've never heard it? Yeah. She has a better memory than I do. Yeah. Okay, so felt like the Lord was saying, preach on if. That's all I got, right? And at the same time, I had gone to a pastor's meeting where the pastors were talking about using artificial intelligence, AI, to prepare your sermon. And I said, I don't want to do that. And they said, yeah, thank you. They said, now wait a minute. I don't mean get your sermon from AI. They said, but there's some times where you need to go through AI to see certain things for the sermon. And I just didn't get it. And they said, do you ever use Google when you're preparing your sermon? And I said, yeah, I Google stuff. I don't trust what comes up all the time, but I definitely Google stuff. And they said, well, you're already using AI. And I said, I am? And they said, yeah, Google is now AI-based. Artificial intelligence has already wormed its way into everything that is searched on the internet. And so, again, I'm very skeptical. And I want the Holy Spirit to speak to me, not AI to try and speak to me. But I did find out, after putting the word if and scripture. That's all I did. If scripture. And by the way, my smoky voice, I just sounded like a middle school boy. I just cracked. Yeah. I put if scriptures. And it said there were 1,600 scriptures with if in it. Well, I found out AI lied to me. Because it included words like life. It had if in it. Okay, or testify. It had if in it. But I started dialing in a little bit, and I did find out that there are a lot of if scriptures. And there's a lot to be said to us about the word if. But I was surprised that AI, which is non-spiritual, can be sometimes used as a positive tool. When it said, if is a hinge word in scripture. I thought, wow, that's kind of deep. I would have never come up with that. So I went to Special K and I brought a hinge, okay? Okay. It's a hinge word, if, then. So you come to an if, you have to open the cabinet or open the door, and this one's kind of squeaky, you probably can't hear it, but you open the door, if, then, and the then that follows the if is very important. In the world, you go, if you eat more vegetables, then you'll have a healthier gut. Doesn't mean I follow that, but that sounds kind of nice, you know. Or in my case, if you consume less salt, then your blood pressure will go down. If, then. I'm not saying today only if. That's not the type of scriptures I'm talking about. I'm talking about the hinge ones where we have a little bit of responsibility. And when we obey what scripture says to do, there's a then that follows. If we don't obey what scripture says to do, there's also a then that follows. So today is not no ifs, ands, or buts. I did not AI but, okay? It's not what I'm talking about today. And I'm not talking about shoulda, coulda, woulda, only if. I'm talking about the hinge word if. And many times, it signals a blessing to follow or an outcome that would be best for us if we followed it. It's like a if promise. And boy, oh boy, when I dug into this, there are so many if promises. We could talk the rest of the day about them. Let me give you an example. One of the most famous if scriptures. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's good. If we confess our sins. Kind of gives us a choice though, doesn't it? We have a choice to make. Am I going to bring my sins out in the open? Am I going to tell someone that I trust? Am I going to go to a small group and actually be honest with them? If I confess my sins. Well, what happens then? Well, he'll be faithful and he'll forgive us our sins, purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me give you another one. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, that one's complicated. If there was if, you could do if in front of every one of those. If my people will humble themselves, if my people will pray, if my people will seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If is a very short word. It's usually overlooked, but it never stands alone. I've noticed, like, I drive a Jeep now for work, okay? But now that I drive a Jeep, I see a Jeep everywhere I look. I go in a parking lot, oh, there's a Jeep. There's a Jeep. I had no idea before. You drive a Ford F-150 or whatever you drive. All of a sudden, you start noticing all the Ford F-150s on the road. So I'm getting ready to prepare this message. I'm reading scripture, sometimes with Lisa, sometimes not. And all of a sudden, I start to see if in all kinds of scriptures. And I'm wondering this week, when you're reading God's word, if you're actually going to discover some ifs. You're going to go, oh, well, there it is. Small word, big meaning. There's another one. There's another one. It's like it's a bridge word, though. Remember the hinge? It's a bridge connecting this to this. Like this one from Matthew 6:14. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Uh-oh. Because I'd like to put, if you don't, then he don't. Okay, that's kind of painful, right? So again, we have a choice if we're going to do these if things. I love this if scripture. It actually doesn't have a then. This if scripture says, Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Well, that's powerful. A great if scripture. Before we get to our main passage of the day that Lisa will do, here's an if scripture from John 14:15. If you love me, so this is in red in my Bible, if you love me, keep my commands. If you're going to have an opportunity this week to obey or not obey his commands, it's that path I want you to stay on. I don't want you to crash through the guardrails. If you do crash through the guardrails, get back up, get back on the path. You can never, ever fall too far that his love won't reach you, okay? If you obey me, though, that will show me that you love me, he says. And so keep my commands. I'm reading all these if things, and I'm like, you know, Lord, I don't know where you want me to go with this, but I'm gonna just keep paying attention. So I got those big mule deer ears, okay? The little whitetail ears, big mule deer ears, okay? All the hunters in the room are back to paying attention right now, which is really good, okay? Where they hear everything, right? I can't sneak up on some of these things because they got these big ears. But I come upon John chapter 15. And I start reading John chapter 15, and I realize that if is in John chapter 15 11 times. It's like, whoa. Okay, so now my eyes are open, my ears are big. Would you turn with me to John chapter 15? And Lisa will come up and share. Yes, this time you do. And she woke up this morning and had no idea she was doing this. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, honey. Yeah.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you abide in me, you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me as a branch, he is cast off and is withered, and they gather them up and they throw them in the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. As my Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Mm-hmm. Greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friend.
Bow your heads, please. If you were paying attention during the testimony time, you would have heard three or four testimonies connect to that actual scripture. Can you think of what they were? Now, as your head is bowed, I want you to ask God to speak to you. And if you were so bold, ask him what he has for you today. And all God's people said, if, say it out loud,
yes.
Louder,
yes.
Say it to the person next to you. John 15:5, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can't do jack diddly squat. Hey? You can do nothing. We heard that earlier today. Apart from him, you can do nothing. It's impossible without him. What's the key though? The whole scripture we're talking about today is to remind us all to stay connected to the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. Who's the branches? We are. Who produces the fruit? Jesus only. Do we produce the fruit? No. You just stay connected to Jesus. He produces fruit through you. Apart from him, we can't do spit. Okay? All right, can't do nothing, not a blooming thing. We desperately need to stay connected to him. John 15, 6. If you do not remain in me, so this is a negative if, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. It's an unhealthy branch. You can't produce fruit without staying connected to the vine. If you get disconnected from the vine, you get discarded and you're ineffective, impotent, and you just wither. Can you get the picture? Hey, stay connected to the vine, remain in him. If you get disconnected to the vine, you wither, and you will notice eventually. How do we stay connected to the vine? He says, if, then he says, remain. Well, how do I remain in him? Men, through prayer and through his word. Hey, bulletproof your relationships through prayer and through his word. His word is like the oxygen that I breathe. We desperately need it. I remember when God called me to become a pastor. I was a simple athletic director. I was looking forward to the days when we could beat up on the sheep herders, is what I was looking forward to. You knew I was putting that in there. You knew it. But I remember almost like I heard him out loud. You need to be in my word every day because you're going to need it. And boy, oh boy, was that true. And I can't say I'm batting 1,000, but it's pretty darn close. And he has used his word miraculously. I remain in him by being in his word. Now, I'm a man. I'll be honest. There's some days where I don't get much out of it. And I have some days when I'm just going through the motions. Does that mean I should stop? No. Stay connected to the vine by being in his word. And then talk to God. If you didn't talk to your wife for a day, I think it'd be very evident that there was a challenge and a problem, right? Now, I know us guys use less words. Women use 15,000 a day, and guys use way less on the average, okay? But talking to my wife is important, and I stay connected to her, and she feels connected to me when we communicate back and forth. Okay. So I have learned to stay connected to God. I've got to put the technology aside. Now, I read my scripture on the phone some days, but I got to be very careful because I can start to go onto Facebook or Google when I'm, oh, what about this? What about that? And then all of a sudden I'm really sidetracked. So I got to put the technology aside for me to truly stay connected. Did you know that I feel more connected to God, though, when I'm with his people? I don't need you to be in my house 24/7. That's my bubble. Stay out my bubble, okay? I do feel, though, that I need to be with God's people because isolation is not our friend. I desperately need God's people. And he uses you in the most amazing ways. Just a smile sometimes from one of God's people goes a long way. Or a side hug. Or a handshake. Just look somebody in the eye. And it connects us to God. I do feel like we stay connected to God when we serve him, though, with the gifts that he's given us. We remain in him by serving others. This is a serving church. I don't know what all you did this week. I've only heard a few stories. I want to hear more. But you do stay connected to him by serving him with the gifts that he's given you. I do not have the gift to work in your nursery. Please don't assign me to the nursery. Okay? I go away from 45 minutes in the nursery feeling like I just got run over by a train. It just exhausts me. Hey, but I just taught 12 hours over the weekend. And that energizes me. And I come away from that going, oh, that was awesome. It was 12 hours long. And I was just thrilled to do it. Do whatever charges your battery in the Lord. Not every opportunity is a mandate, though. You can say no to those things that he didn't gift you for. But everything he wants accomplished in this body, he's going to do through somebody in this body who has that gift. And if you don't use your gift, the body suffers. And by the way, your first gift practice session is your own family. Use your gifts in your own family, in your own home. Then go to your neighbors and your extended family, and then go to your community and just keep branching out from there. But remain in him, and he will remain in you. John 15:7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, it's his word, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Because if you remain in him, you're not going to ask something that's ludicrous. If you remain in him, you're going to ask those things which are closest to him. I tell you, I went to bed last night. I was a little bit ashamed. But I said, as I'm holding my wife's hand, because it bulletproofs our marriage, oh Lord, my throat hurts. And I need your help, because I'm not sure I can preach tomorrow. Amen. Within 3 seconds, Lisa was snoring. Okay. It was awesome. I don't mind Lisa snoring. I think it's a great sound. Does not bother me one bit. I actually smile. And just a few seconds after that, I'm sure I joined her. And we were doing a chorus. Okay. I woke up this morning. First thing I thought of is, wow, I never thought about my sore throat a single time all night long. Not once. And for a week, I've had smoky sore throat. And I'm like, Lord, you answered that prayer. I can't believe. And now here I am able to talk to you this morning. And I feel like it was an answered prayer because I feel like it's what he wanted. I was asking something that he wanted. He wanted me to share his word today. And so I was in his will. He answered that question. You can ask for things that are in his will. How do you know what his will is? You remain in him. He'll show you his will because you're closely walking with him. You're not too far ahead. You're not too far behind. You're walking step by step with him. He wants you to do some things, and then he shows you, and you remain in him, and he answers your prayer. I'm not telling you he got you a Porsche. I don't think that's in his will for most of you. One person in this room might have a Porsche, and that very well could be God's will for you. His will has to do with things for you that are eternal. That's prosperity, folks. When you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You have those things in abundance. You are loaded, baby. You are rich. You are prosperous. And by the way, if you remain in his spirit, he says you're gonna have those things. So remain in him. But John 15:10. John 15:10. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Do you want to know how to remain in him? And people are so mad when I share this sometimes. You have to obey him. Obeying God is always in our best interest. It's not about the rules. It is best for us. You can't argue with me about the Big Ten. Thou shalt not. I mean, those are brilliant, folks. The law is brilliant. It's good for us to not murder, including with our words. It's good for us not to steal, covet, lie. It is best for us, isn't it? And people get so sidetracked. What about those Old Testament scriptures say don't mix textile garments? Come on, give me a break. You just got taken off course. Okay? If just Jesus reiterated things, and he did a lot. You know, he talked about the sexually immoral. That's bad for you. Oh, but don't tell me how to live my life. I didn't. God did. And it's best for you if you obey what he says to do. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You go, oh man, uh-oh, oh boy. You know, he just poked me right between the eyes. Did you know that you can actually rewire your brain and not have to even think those cuss words? If you will, over time, obey his word and practice the more excellent way. And so over time, you'll look back and you go, you know what? I haven't taken the name of the Lord my God in vain for the last week. And that's like a victory because it's good for us. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Is that good? If you do what he commands, you're a friend of God. Well, obviously, if you knowingly, on purpose, willingly disobey what God puts in front of you, you're actually not acting as his friend. He did not throw you away. Let's be very clear about that. You chose to get disconnected from him by disobeying him repeatedly, knowingly, willingly, walking away from him. I know there's an independence of people in Montana. I think there's an independence of people in Stillwater and Sweetgrass counties. Independent, it's why we live here, right? We don't want to live near a whole lot of people and them telling us all what to do. We need our space. We're independent. But did you know you're interdependent on God and on the people around you? If you do what I command and then hold each other accountable a little bit, then you are his friends, and he will answer your prayers and work through you in mighty and miraculous ways. This was not a difficult message, was it? What was the word of this message? What if we came back next week and some of you shared some more if scriptures? Because we're going to give you that opportunity next week. We're going to move on. I'm going to actually talk about a couple parables the next 2 weeks. Two or three parables that I think God has put on my heart.
Would you join me in praying in the way that our Lord taught us to pray? All right, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we've forgiven those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.